Father, we thank you tonight for the word. We thank you that your word gives life and health and strength to us. And we just, as we read and draw from your word tonight, we draw life and we draw strength tonight. We draw the help and the aid that we need. We draw help for our bodies. Father, we thank you tonight that we'll leave here encouraged and lifted up. We'll leave here, Father, strengthened. We'll leave here wiser than we were when we came in. We'll leave here freer than we were than we arrived. And we thank you for that tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we just take this moment. We just acknowledge what you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Where would we be? If it hadn't been for Jesus. We have no idea, Father, what we've been really saved out of and saved into. But we, Father, we're beginning to see what you have done for us in Christ. We thank you for the redemption that we have, that we're not in this world lost and without a hope, that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, and we've been bought out from under the rule of sin, out from under the ruler of darkness. We thank you for that. We've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of your love, and you've set your love upon us tonight. Hallelujah. We're encompassed about by your love tonight. And Father, we just rejoice in that. Father, we look to you to live big inside of us tonight. Just show yourself to us. Make yourself known to us. Father, we don't believe in you just because we read about you in a book. We believe in you because we know you intimately for ourselves. We know the true and the living God. And because we know you and we've experienced you in our lives, we can't be talked out of you. It's not just some fable we read about somewhere. It's not just an opinion of a man, but we know you. We've heard you call our name. We know you, and we know that you know us, and we're so thankful and grateful for that tonight. Hallelujah. We rejoice in you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I was just thinking about that this morning, about how I don't just believe in God because I read the book, because somebody witnessed to me and tell me about him. You know, it's so crazy, but I could just stand here for hours and hours and hours and tell you how I know God just because I know him. He's revealed himself to me. He's spoken to me. He has proven himself. And I don't mean just by things he's done. I mean just because his presence is in my life. And he, you know what I'm saying? To know God, what a privilege tonight that we know him. His presence isn't something I just encounter when I come to church. It's not something that I'm hoping that Nate can sing down, you know. I'm not just hoping God's presence can, you know, maybe if we all can get together in one accord, we might can muster up his presence. But I know his presence because he lives in me and he talks to me. You know that old song, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. Yeah, it's the truth. I know what they meant when they wrote that. I mean, God actually talks to me and he's just communing with me all the time. How awesome, how awesome, how awesome it is. Praise God. Well, I have a message tonight I'm going to share with you, that I actually got during the middle of the night last night, but it's something that's just really been big in me. I guess I just have themes going in my life all the time. I don't know if the Lord deals with you in that way, but I've had these themes going on, this theme of astonishing and a theme about, you know, about finding God's will. And then there's this other thing that I'm going to talk about tonight, and you'll hear it because you've heard me probably mention this. I haven't done a message on it, but I've certainly mentioned it in a lot of things I've talked about recently. I almost did a School for Life message on it two Sundays ago. But went another direction instead. But little did I know that what was going to happen to me today. I've had two really big things happen to me, but one of the things wasn't so good. And just as I was getting ready to come over to the office this morning, I went out, and y'all know we have two little dogs, Chester and Annabelle, and Chester's a miniature poodle and Annabelle's a miniature golden doodle. And so, but Chester's this little, you know, bunch of hair that hangs out on a skeleton and runs around. And that's basically Chester. Well, anyway, there has been, since last Friday, there's been a pit bull hanging out at our house. And he's beautiful. I mean, I've never been around a pit bull. And I think he's a mix of some kind. Grayson explains it all to me. But I just heard the words pit bull and kind of hung right there. But he's a beautiful caramel color. And he's got these eyes. He's, you know, really interesting looking. And he sits at our back door and he moans. And I think he loves Grayson because most animals are nuts about Grayson. I don't know why. But, and so he just sits at the back door. And he breathes through the door. You know, here's the door. And he goes... Y'all ever had dogs do that? That's what he does. Like, he's trying to tell you he wants to come in the house. So, anyway, he was doing that. But then we thought us and one of our neighbors had been trying to find his home because he's obviously belonged to somebody. He has a collar, but no tag on his collar. And we're just trying to figure it all out. But meanwhile, he excites our dogs and they're, you know, when he's around. And so they, I had seen him earlier in the morning, but then, I thought it was okay to take the dogs out for a walk and put them in the kennel before we left. And so I just, you know, leashed him up and we go out and I looked around. I didn't see the big dog out there anywhere. And so I went down the little steps. I'm taking him out and I get to the bottom of the steps and I see him come around the pool. And I thought, well, we'll see how this goes. You know, I wasn't quite sure what to do at that moment. You know, here he is. I didn't know it. And so he comes over to him, and you know what dogs do? Eddie's my brother, so I'm going to sniff him. You know, not how they were sniffing, though. Because that isn't how they were sniffing. But anyway, they were sniffing like that. And it seemed okay, you know, for about 15 seconds. And then that dog jumped on my tester. I mean, something just big. I mean, it was scary. It was just like, because Chester's this little fur ball and he's this big mean dog and it was ferocious. And then there Annabelle's there in the mix and Chester can't get away because I'm holding him on the leash. But the other dog, well, at one point, this is going back and forth. At one point, that dog had my Chester in his mouth and I have the other end of Chester and it's like on a cartoon and I'm pulling Chester this way and he's pulling him that way. And I'm kicking him and I'm screaming Matt, and Matt's somewhere. Where were you? And so he looked out the window and saw what was going on, and he had something else to do. No, I'm just kidding. And I'm pulling Chester. I'm making it funny, but it wasn't funny at all. I'm telling you, there was nothing funny about it. And I'm kicking Harry. I was telling Harry about it later, and Harry goes, "Why didn't you just hit him hard?" And I'm like, "Oh, Harry never thought of that." I'm kicking him with all my might. I'm doing everything. And finally, I get Chester away from him enough that I am literally on the ground over Chester. And Chester's right here. And I'm just totally covered him. And then it dawned on me, this isn't very smart because he's trying to get to Chester. And what's between me and Chester? I mean, him and Chester, but me. And so then, you know, like all this, you know how time slows down at a time like that? And you're going, well, this isn't very smart. And so I scoop Chester up and I'm trying to get to the door. And finally Matt comes out. I don't even know how the whole thing broke up. Because I was still shaking. About 8 minutes later, my mom's trying to ask me what happened, and I can't even talk. I'm just Chester. But it was kind of just a crazy moment, in my life. I hadn't had an adrenaline rush like that in a while, and frankly, don't want to have one like that again for a while. And so it was, one of those times. So anyway, I rescued my little dog. It was interesting because then I get Chester and I'm ready to sew him up, and he doesn't have one wound or lick on him. I mean, even though this dog had him in his mouth and was doing all this, I finally realized Chester has so much hair that all he had was a mouthful of hair. So his hair saved him. And so anyway, but it was just kind of, a moment. And I realized, when you're in a situation like that, you do things that aren't smart. And that's what I was doing. I was jumping between him and my, and all the things I was doing. You do things sometimes that's not very smart in retrospect. Because Chester's a nice dog and all, but he's not worth me getting some of my parts torn off, My kids might debate that, but I mean, from my perspective, And tonight I just want to talk about being fearless. Because I think we all have inside of us the makings of being fearless. But we talked about some weeks ago, we were talking about death and we were talking about the fear of death and how the fear of death keeps people in bondage. And I don't know, exactly why I've been on this trend the last probably 4 or 5 months, but I have been on this deal to root fear out. And it is just becoming, I can just tell you, I am much less fearful today than I was 4 months ago. And I would by no means have said 4 months ago that I was a fearful person. But I'm telling you today, I'm much less fearful and I'm much more fearless. And I think it has to do with what God's, what he's doing in my life, what he's doing in this church. I think it has to do with some of the astonishing things we're going to see. We were just singing how nothing's impossible to him. But you know what? The Bible says we know nothing's impossible to him, but that same, and that's not that big a deal that nothing's impossible to God. I tell you what's an incredible deal is that all things are possible to him who believes. That's a much bigger deal. I mean, we can sing all day about nothing is impossible with Him, you know, on His part. But for you to say all things are possible to me because I believe, boy, now there's some faith required for that. And so I just want to, I want to read some things and make some comments tonight. And I'm going to read first from Psalm 112. And I'm going to read, Andrew, is that you? Yes. I'm going to read in the New Living. Now, sometimes the New Living has several, has variations. Sometimes what my translation says, it says, doesn't match up with that, but mine's right. No, hopefully it'll match tonight. I'm going to read the whole psalm. I tell you, Psalm 112, it's an awesome psalm. Awesome psalm. You should read it and think about you when you read it. It says this, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy. Woo! And their good deeds will last forever. Woo woo! Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They are confident. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and they give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Now let's go back and go up to this part about we'll go back up to verse 7. They do not fear bad news. It's talking about the righteous. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. Now I have to tell you, when it comes to faith preaching and messages on faith, I have heard, and this is, you know, no exaggeration, thousands of messages on faith. I've heard, you know, the 12 steps to the God kind of faith. Probably preached it a few times. You just look. I can tell you all kind of messages about faith. And I preached them, and we could go through verses in the Bible and we could break them down. We could get into the Greek. We could do all kinds of things about it. But I tell you, messages on faith, messages on the process of faith, while it's important to understand that, the most important thing is that you have confidence towards God. Yeah. And that you trust in God. And trusting in God, while it is a process, you don't get there just by, because I heard this series of tapes and I'm going to do these four things and somehow or another I'm going to hope this works. Right. Because all of that comes from a heart that's confident towards God. And if you know, it's for example, Jesus was talking about our words and he said, if you speak to the mountain and you command it to move, be cast into the sea, you know, believe in your heart and you believe those things you say come to pass. In other words, the whole thing is based on what you're believing. It's not just based on what you're saying. Now, you know, it's never bad to say to the mountain to go if you want the mountain to go. Start there. But there has to be a confidence in your heart towards God. There has to be. And I tell you, when I think about people and their lives and what really puts them over in life and the thing that gets you from A to where, you know, from point A where you are to point Z where you want to go, where God has for you, the thing that's going to get you there is confidence towards God. But I'm going to tell you something else. If you don't have trust in God, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're going to be those that draw back that Hebrews talks about. We're not those that draw back. You're going to quit. You're going to give up. You're going to give in. The thing that keeps you persevering is having that confidence that God's with you, that He's in you, that He's for you, that He's the one putting you over, that He's got a good plan, that He loves you, that He's leading you and guiding you, that He's for you. And that's what keeps you going. Is that what keeps you going? Having a confidence towards God. And that's how I'm telling you, I don't know how people live without confidence in God. I don't know how people are making it today. And I guess a lot of people aren't making it, really. They're just freaking out. But just having a confidence towards God, just having a trust, just knowing that God, He's in me and I can depend on Him. He's working for my good. And my job is just to listen to Him, follow Him best I can. But even if I'm not perfect in following Him, He's still for me and He's still helping me and He's still with me. And it's still going to work out here for my good. Now, right here in Psalm 112, he's talking about, right here, not fearing bad news. Well, I'm going to tell you, every one of us is going to get bad news at some point or another. People get all hung up on what kind of news am I going to get? I don't want to get bad news. Who wants to get bad news? Nobody wants to get bad news, but I can assure you, if you live on planet Earth, you're going to get bad news. It's going to come. There's going to be trouble. Jesus told us that. You know, we love to quote what Jesus said and the promises of God, but Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You live in a troubled world. And as the world gets, you know, worse and darker, there's going to be more trouble. So don't be shocked about the trouble. But you don't have to be afraid of the bad news when the bad news comes. When you think it might be on its way, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. You don't have to think, oh my goodness, the bad news is going to come. And you're afraid of the bad news. Because it doesn't matter what the news is, your heart is still confident. One translation says here, your heart's established, your heart is fixed. Because whatever comes, you've already got some better news. See, whatever comes, I've already heard the good news. The good news is that we are already victorious in Christ Jesus. The good news is that we are overcomers. The good news is, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So that's the good news. I've already received the good news. So bad news or not, I've already got the good news. And I'm established in the good news. And that's what I'm trusting in. And what I'm hanging my hat on is the good news. You understand? So I don't have to be afraid of the bad news. See, that's the difference between going into the doctor when something seems like it might be. You know, a good friend of mine just had a really negative report from the doctor. Real, you know, the big C. But they didn't go to the doctor for a long time, even though they had symptoms, because you don't want to go to the doctor and get the bad news, because you'll be afraid of the bad news. See, the bad news, what if I go to the doctor and he gives me a bad report? What does what the doctor says about it have anything to do with what's going on in your body? I don't know. Sometimes people, you know, it's like, if there's something going on in your body, the doctor telling you that didn't do anything to you. In fact, that probably helped you, because he may offer some help in the, you know, natural. But people won't go to the doctor because what might the doctor say? They fear bad news. Being afraid of the bad news is not helpful at all. See, there's a difference between, and I talk about this a lot. You know, people are like, let's believe with me that I'm going to have a good report from the doctor. Well, I want you to have a good report from the doctor, but my faith is not in the doctor's report, whether it's good or bad. I already believed the report of the Lord. So that's where I'm centered up on. I'm believing the report of the Lord. The doctor's report may or may not agree with that, but it doesn't matter what the doctor's report is. I've already got the report that I've chosen to believe. That's the report I'm centered in on. Whether it's a doctor's report or anybody's report, we already have a report. So I don't have to fear what other report might come along. I've already got the report. So you don't fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. And, you know, again, I don't think I could in any way tonight adequately express what's in my heart. If I could do something for you tonight, I would just give you a trust in God that you don't have now. I do that for all of us. To just push you beyond where you are in trusting God and having confidence towards Him, because God loves you so much. God's intention is to fully care for you. We talk so much around here about how God's not angry with you. He's not mad at you. He's not looking at you and judging you according to your sins. His wrath is not towards you. He already poured his wrath out. Although he was really, really angry with you, but he poured all that wrath out on Jesus. And so there's nothing between you now, but his love is set upon you. The Bible says he set his love upon us. Isn't that great? So that's what he's thinking of. He's thinking of how to care for you and take care, you know, how to watch over you. You know, all of you that have had children, your baby, you know, I mean, you have RJ, Michelle, you have RJ. He's little. How old is he now? He's 8 months old. You know, RJ is just totally dependent on his mom and his dad to take care of him, to watch over. He looks to them for care. He's not staying up all night wondering if I'm going to get to eat tomorrow. He might be staying up all night, but it isn't because he's wondering if he's going to get to eat tomorrow. You know, you just have that confidence. I've never had my kids, never once. And we've had four kids. And our oldest is my goodness. Is that true? She's 23 years old. I had her when I was 14. Come and clean tonight. Yeah, it was. Just might as well fess up. Tell y'all about it tonight. Anyway, so what happened? Never mind. Anyway, I had these four kids. I've never once had one of them come into me late at night. And they love to come in my room late at night and all the time when I'm in my room. And I've never had one of them come knock on the door and up the door, "Mom, are you going to feed me tomorrow?" We've never had that. What's the deal with that, Matt? They ask me what's for supper sometimes and I give them the look like, yeah. You asking the wrong one, go look in the mirror, ask yourself what's for supper. But they know whatever's in there, it's theirs to eat, man. You know what I mean? Just the confidence our kids have towards us. They're confident that we're going to take care of them. How much more should we be confident towards our Heavenly Father? See, if we would just do God the courtesy of treating Him like our children treat us. Just, you know, and maybe your kids ask you every day, "Mom, are you going to feed me tomorrow?" But I doubt it. And let me say this, if your kids are asking you that, you need to come up for prayer after service. And we need to talk. And I might have to call child services. Okay, but that's another subject. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless. Now, let me just ask you tonight, honestly, and don't raise your hand. Just think about this. Would you, if I said, describe yourself in 10 words, would one of those words be fearless? Fearless. Mouthy, maybe. No, fearless. How many of you would really say that's a word? I want you to start thinking of yourself as fearless. 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 How many of you would say tonight, you can raise your hand on this, you're much less fearless today than you were 10 years ago? Doesn't it feel good to be free from fear? I mean, just the fears that you just pushed out of your life and isn't there a freedom in being fearless? There's just something just really, I don't know, the air is cleaner and you can breathe deeper. Just pushing off fear. Because fear is ultimately what the enemy uses to control us. He bullies us. He intimidates us. Remember what Paul said to Timothy, God's not given us the spirit of timidity, of being, you know, of responding to the bullying tactics of the enemy. And sometimes those tactics are, you know, he uses people. But God's not given us that spirit of fear, spirit of intimidation. That's not from God. It's not God's will for us to be afraid, to be fearful of any circumstance, to be fearful of any news, to be fearful of any person, to be fearful of anything. Fearless. Say, I'm fearless.
I'm fearless.
I want you to start thinking of yourself that way. I'm fearless. Now, it's not because you're working up something. There's only one way to really be fearless. And really, these two things. You become more fearless as you become more full of faith towards God. And the more you trust God and the greater your confidence in Him, the less you have to fear. Those two things, they go like this. You know, if somebody who's full of fear, I can tell you one thing, no matter how many CDs they've listened to, books they've read, sermons they've heard, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many, you know, good confessions they made today. It doesn't matter. Their faith is low when their fear is high. When your fear is high, your faith is low. And that's a good way to tell, you know, where your faith is where's your fear? And fearlessness comes out as confidence, boldness. Now that's good, because one thing we know about boldness, the New Testament church was full of it. That's where we really see boldness in action. The New Testament church, and not only did we see it in action, they prayed for it. And, you know, we've learned over the years that the bolder you are, the better results you get. When you're bold, God's power comes on the scene. You know why? Because the only way you can really be bold is to have confidence towards God. What is confidence? Faith. Faith is what activates the power of God. So when you step out boldly, you're going to see God's power. Because it's really faith in action. You know, it's your faith moving. It comes across. It looks on the outside as boldness. On the inside, you're on the inside, it's trusting God. You're trusting God. You don't really see yourself for how you appear to others, but you appear to others as bold. It just seems right to you because from your perspective, you're trusting God. You're obeying God. You're lining up with His will, what He said to you to do. You're just going along with Him. And you're focused in on Him. You're focused in on what He said. Your focus, you know, that's where your focus is. Your focus isn't how you appear to others, but if other people see you, boy, they think, boy, you're brazen. You know, Matt and I had a situation with some people we'd known for a while, and then we noticed they didn't like us anymore. Y'all ever had that when people you knew and you thought, you know, you loved them, you were fond of them, and then you noticed they don't like me so much anymore. And so finally it all blew up. And when it all blew up, it came out what the problem was. Their problem was, they said, all y'all ever do is brag. Well, maybe me, but Matt? I'm like, you think, they were really angry with Matt because he was, well, you never tell us, you know, all these bad things we share with you about, you know, in other words, all the trash we talk all the time and you don't talk trash like us anymore. Really? And so it's, yeah, and so all that you do is brag. You just talk about these good things that God's doing in your life and, you know. And it's what happens is you don't even realize you come across that way to people. They were mad because they wanted to hear the dirt, how it really was. You're just saying, God is good and He loves me. You know, I was thinking, you think Matt Judd's bragging? That is so funny to me because I live with him. I mean, anyway, me, yeah, I could see that. But Matt, come on. They are confident and fearless and they can face their foes triumphantly. Woo! Praise God. Now I tell you, we're in a time of change. You know, we started this one last Sunday, and part of what the Lord's led us to do with this one, we don't see the end of it. We only see the beginning, but that's okay because God sees the end. So we just walk with Him, walk with Jesus. And so we're just walking along with Him. But, you know, one of the things He said to us to do this for was because there's a time of change. There's a time of transition, and we need to be together as we go through this. And you know, you just mentioned change and some people just that very word, just they sit up a little straighter and they get a little tighter in their neck and they, you know, how many of you really, you can say you're resistant to change? You know, there are certain personality types. Matt was reading a book about change, some things, and he said, look at this. These people in particular have trouble with change. And it was interesting because when it described them, I'm like, yeah, I know that person. And that, you know, it was just, you just see certain people that really like things ordered and structured. When change comes, you know, it's not as natural, which I understand. But thank God for the ordered, structured people in the world.
Yes.
Or we would just be one big jellyfish floating through space, you know. Somebody's got to make the skeleton. But anyway, here we were, you know, just the change. But I'm going to tell you, change is inevitable. And you have to face the fear of change. What might happen? I tell you, the fear of the unknown. Some people don't like to start something if they don't know what the end is. Well, what's going to happen? I don't know. You don't know how many times we sat in our executive team meetings and talked about something we were going to do. And we're like, well, what's the end of that? We're like, we don't know. You know, the Bible talks about Abraham, that he went out not knowing where he was going. Yeah, and he is the father of our faith. Any of y'all ever done that? Has God ever led you to do something and didn't show you the end of it? He just shows you, like, do this, and you do it. And the whole time you're thinking, I hope you know what we're doing. That's where trust is, man. That's when it really, you know, are you going to step out and do it? And not know? I'm not sure how this is going to happen. In fact, not only am I not sure how this is going to happen, I personally don't see any way it could happen. You ever had that? God leads you to do something, and you're going, you know, not only do I not know how you're going to do this, I don't see any possible way it could happen. But you said to go. I mean, you think about the people in the Bible. Was it Moses that they needed water and he had to take a stick and strike a stone with it? How does that make any sense? We need water. We need water. We're trusting God for water. There's no water. There is none. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Hit a stone with a stick. That makes sense. That makes no sense. God's always got the option. He's always got the plan. I mean, a lot of my life is spent just trusting that God knows what He's doing. And then for me, a lot of my faith is just trusting that I'll be able to hear from Him. Mainly that He'll be able to get through to me. I mean, I exercise a lot of faith just in God's ability to speak to me in a way I can understand Him. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's like well-developed faith in my life, that I have big trust in God's ability to get through to me. Yeah, just, you know. I mean, these are things we trust God for, isn't it? Sure, we trust God for money and for healing, but I'm talking about living every day. Trusting God to just take care of things, that he's going to just overall take care of my life. I've told you many times how I trust God with my children, how I made that deal with Him a long time ago, and I'm still walking in it. I have many opportunities all the time. We have a deal, me and God, you know. He's going to take care of my kids, and I'm going to trust Him to do it. I also have that same deal with Him when it comes to me. He's going to take care of me, and I'm going to trust Him to do it. That's a relief, man, when you can just trust God to take care of you. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm in situations right now. I have circumstances that if I in the natural really started thinking about it, and it's nothing but just hilarious. I have committed to do things in the next 6 months that I have no way that I can do it. There's no way I can do it. And I've told people, absolutely, I'm doing it. And then sometimes I stop and think, well, are you lying? No, I'm just trusting God. He's told me to do it. So if He told me to do it, He's got a way for me to do it, doesn't He? Isn't that right, Terry? If God leads you to do something, He's got a way. You think so? So I'm just trusting in Him. So I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid when the Lord quickens in me to speak to somebody on His behalf and to, you know, and to say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me lay hands on you, whatever it might be, whatever He's got. I'm not going to shrink back from that. He wouldn't lead me to do it if He didn't have something in it. If He didn't have a part to play, He wouldn't be leading me. Being led by the Holy Spirit and walking by faith, I don't know how we can separate those. It takes faith to follow what He leads you to do. And He leads you to do what only faith can produce, you know. I'm fearless. Why don't y'all say that? I'm fearless.
I'm fearless.
I'm bold.
I'm bold.
I mean, I'm telling y'all, this part of what we're doing in one is we're moving into a level of boldness at Good News Church we haven't seen before. The people here that aren't normally bold. You know, the ones that play it safe. We're going to see some boldness out of you. Boldness. I don't mean boldness for the sake of, you know, causing a scene and a commotion. I mean boldness in following God. Boldness just in saying, yeah. God said it and it's so. And let me go here. Confidence towards God. You know, I'm just going to read this. Turn over to Matthew 14. There's some verses that inspire me. Some people I think about in the scripture. Here's one of them. Verse 23. He, Jesus, Matthew 14:23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountains by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea. These are his disciples. They're out in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I mean, that pretty much describes life on planet Earth right now. Do y'all ever feel like you're in that boat, tossed by the waves, the wind is contrary? Am I the only one that lives in this world? Does anybody else ever have this happening? I mean, I have days that are just like this. Like you're just walking along and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this big wave. And you're like, what was that, man? Who saw that coming? So there they were. Verse 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Ew, thank God he's with us. And when the disciples walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, I always just think this is so funny. Why on earth would this be your response? Where was Peter coming from? This is a ridiculous verse, isn't it? Lord, if it is you. Now, I don't know about you. I could finish this sentence a whole lot of ways that Peter didn't. Lord, if it's you, flash me the secret symbol. You know, the secret sign. Give me the peace sign. Lord, if it's you, do a jumping jack. Lord, if it's you, you know, call me by your pet name for me. I mean, there's a lot of things I could have said if I wasn't sure who he was. You know, what is the deal? Lord, if it is you, come over here. I mean, there's a lot of things. I don't know why Peter went for this. I know why he did. He saw what Jesus was doing and he wanted to do what Jesus was doing. Include me in, exactly. Somebody's having fun here. Peter was always going for the fun. Well, if Jesus can walk on the water, why can't I? Lord, if it is you. Nobody else in the boat was thinking that. But Peter. Peter's thinking, hey, Jesus is walking on the water. Command me to come to you on the water. So he said, you know, I don't even know if Jesus knew Peter was going to say that. And he's so excited. He goes, come on. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, I just imagined those moments of Peter getting up and getting over the side of the boat. I mean, what were the others there thinking? Oh, here's Peter. He's in it again. What an idiot. Oh, Peter, we're about to see Peter drowned. Come here. I mean, what were they thinking? This is a real story. This is something that really happened. It's real. What was going through all of their minds? What was Jesus thinking at that moment? What was, he knew Peter. He knew Peter. There was no reason for Peter to walk on the water except just for Peter to walk on the water. There was no other reason. When he had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I know we always go on and we read the rest, but come on, let's just stop right there and revel in that for a moment. Peter walked on the water. Let's give credit where credit's due. It was his idea. He's the one that brought it up. Jesus didn't say, it is I. Come out to me on the water, Peter. It was Peter's idea. I know, don't you? It was Peter's idea, and Jesus just said, come. And Peter, you know, I just think even though Peter had not been born again, Peter was not baptized in the Holy Spirit like we are. Peter didn't have the benefit of all the scripture we do and all this. Peter just had a confidence in Jesus. If it's him, I'm going to be okay. If he tells me to come, I have no idea how he's walking on the water. There is no way I can walk on water, but he said, come. I can do this thing. I'm just going to go for it. I think we need to challenge ourselves tonight just to be a little bit more like Peter. You talk, if for no other reason, he faced his fear. You know, I think sometimes God leads us to do things in our lives just to face our fears. Because, you know, he knew on the day of Pentecost that this fisherman was the one that needed to get up and speak to the crowds that were going, what is happening? And, you know, some people say the worst fear there is a fear of, you know, getting up and public speaking. So I know some of you tonight, if I turn the mic over to you, we'd find out quickly that's one of your fears. Let me see who that will be. So this was really just Peter facing fear. And the way he was able to do it was, he was just, if it's Jesus, I know I can trust him. That's why he got onto the boat. I'm going to tell you, if God's leading you to do something, you can trust him. Really, the hard part is not doing it. The hard part is, did he tell me to do it? If he told me to do it, I'm going. And being fearless. And I'm going to tell you something else. Even if he didn't tell you to do it, but you thought he did, and you were really going for it just out of sincerity of your heart, isn't God big enough to put you over then? We just let so much hold us back. I think God wants me to witness to this guy, but I'm not sure. So Peter gets up and there he goes. So I don't even think we're going to read the rest, because Peter walked on the water. You heard the rest. Forget that for now. Peter walked on the water. It turned out okay. He made it to the book of Acts.
Right. That's right.
He made it down to Cornelius's house.
Right.
It turned out good. There was no CPR. There was no, you know, resuscitation on the beach that day. He made it. He walked on the water. He was fearless. I'm just, you know, tonight, I don't really know what's going on with you. But I know this, God has been dealing with me about being fearless. About just stepping out beyond. Just going for it in a bigger way. Just thumb in your nose that I can't, be careful, watch out, the circumstances. Y'all, do y'all know what we're living in? Do y'all know who we are? Why would we be timid? Do you know who's in us? Why would we be drawn back and playing it safe? We are the last people on the planet that should be playing it safe. You're the last person on your job that should be worried. Do you know who's for you? Do you know who's on your side? Do you know who you serve? Why would you even for a moment be? Fearless. Fearless. Not afraid of change. Not afraid of evil tidings, it says in Psalm 112, and I think the New King James. Not afraid of evil, bad reports, evil, whatever. Whatever the report is, something good's going to happen to me. Something, whatever it is they said, well, God's got something better. Whatever. Seriously, I'm not talking about just telling you this. I'm not talking about, well, just think positive. I'm not just trying to soothe your feelings or trying to, okay, this is good. That's not, I'm talking about, here's the reality. God is for me. Let me just read this to you. I just saw this, Romans chapter 8. T- Tonight, I'm just wanting to inspire you. It's not about giving you something you never heard or whatever. I just think we're at a point in time where God's dealing. I'm just telling you, God's been dealing with me about this. This has been going on for months now, and I have found this is just woven through my conversations. I have found myself talking about it. It's like I haven't done a message on it, but it's been, I have been just seeing there's a call to fearlessness. There's a call to boldness tonight. There's a call, and it's not just for me. I think it's for this church. For all of us, and you know, we're all in different places, and God's got different things for all of us, but I'm telling you, whatever God has for you, it's going to require you to be fearless, to face it boldly. What was it that God said to Joshua? And very courageous, he said at one point. Be very courageous. God's got something for you to do, and you're going to have to be strong, and you're going to have to be very courageous. And I'm saying that to you tonight. Be strong and be very courageous. Very courageous. Very courageous. And they saw the walls of Jericho just crumble, and they saw all of those who were occupying the what God had promised to his people, saw them all flee, defeated, but they were very courageous. They took land because they were very courageous. Romans, did y'all get there? Romans 8. I'm going to start reading in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Any of y'all love God tonight? Well, I'm going to comfort you tonight. That all things work together for good to you. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what circumstances there are. But according to this, something's going to work out in your favor. There's good coming to you. Good's coming to you. Amen. To those who are called according to his purpose. Have you been called according to his purpose? Well, yeah, we all answered the call when we said, yes, Jesus. Well, let's keep reading. The rest of this, let's read in light of what he just said. For all those, there's something good going to happen to us. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then can we say to these things? What things? Well, let's go back over to verse 28. Those all things. It doesn't say all good things work together for good. Does it? Does your Bible say all good things work together for good? All things, whether they're bad or good, whether they were what we were planning on or whether they're a total, complete surprise, whether they were, you know, in the 5-year plan or whether no one would have ever put this in the plan. Maybe nobody ever even thought of this. Nobody ever had a glimpse that this could possibly happen. You ever had that? Something just comes up and like, who could have ever thought that? Not me. Well, guess what? Even if I couldn't think about it, it's part of the all things. Never saw it coming? Or I did. It doesn't matter. All things. What then shall we say to these things? What things? To these all things. What are we going to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let's just think about it. Because ultimately, what makes you fearless is just the revelation that God loves you, that God is for you, that God is with me, that God cares for me. That's really what will rid your life of fears, meditating on what we're about to read here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I'm telling you tonight, God loves you. God loves you. And you might say, but what? God loves you. But God loves you. But God loves you. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know how these were not written in chapter and verse? It was one long letter. Let me just read the very first verse of chapter 9. I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. He's telling the truth. It's the truth tonight. God loves you. Let's stand up. Let's just say again, I'm fearless. I'm bold. God loves me. I'm fearless. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you tonight for inspiring us. I pray, Father, that the revelation of this would just roll around in us and it would just be on our minds and in our thinking. It'd come back up before us, and right when we're about to be afraid, we'd just be hit headlong with the reality of your love for us. Father, I pray as Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, that we would all know and experience for ourselves the love that is ours in Christ Jesus. The love of God, the height and the width and the depth and the breadth, that we would know through experience for ourselves your love for us. Father, it's that love that drives out fear. And we're fearless in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll not be afraid. Hallelujah. Not gonna be afraid. Hallelujah.